before we do anything else, let's latch on to Bruce Thatcher for a few minutes here today. He has written a book called Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Good morning, sir. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Jan. Good to be with you to talk about immigration.
Why are you interested?
I'm interested in immigration because it's one of the subjects that I've done on my website to try to bring lessons from history down to a practical application today, and immigration is one of those big areas.
Why?
Because we keep doing the wrong things. I've written a book about the studies I've done on immigration, and in studying 11 immigration policies, I've come up with three key guidelines for successful policies that are followed by every country that has a successful policy. And every country that violated any of those guidelines had an unsuccessful policy.
What would you label that?
Violate all
what would you consider a successful policy?
Well, success is defined in terms of identifying what you want to achieve and the degree to which you achieve it. In terms of immigration, what that means is that you have a clearly understood and articulated goal or goals, national interest that you want immigration to support. I defy most Americans, and most politicians for that matter, to say what are those national interests that our immigration policy is supposed to support.
We have trouble in Washington even for the dealing with American citizens and for the people who belong here defining those priorities. That's why we have a vapor lock in Washington, and that's why the country's in the middle of a cultural civil war. If you can't define national priorities for ourselves, how are we going to do that for people who are not here yet?
And if you can't, as has been said, if you can't define where you're going, why anything will take you there.
Well, you've got the legacy. If people close their eyes and try to figure out what message the United States sends to the universe about our borders, it's a message that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Y'all come! We're open for business. Borders don't matter.
That's one of the messages, and we certainly communicate that message to the world, and our failure to enforce some of our most prominent immigration laws.
By the way, the French invented that, so we didn't even...
Yeah, they're one of the cases in my book, too.
All right, so give us what you think would be the appropriate guidelines, the six things that you ought to be thinking about.
Well, the first thing I think is to articulate a national interest to be supported by immigration. I happen to think, it's not the only one to be sure, but I happen to think that economic growth and well-being of the country without interfering with the solidarity of the people and our security is the key goal.
Does that imply you approve of importing cheap labor?
It implies that there is a role for cheap labor, and the role, in my opinion, would be a streamlined guest worker program. In 1965, from the middle of World War II until about 1965, we had a bracero program, a formal program for seasonal labor to come in and work mostly in agriculture.
Right.
And then go back home at the end of the season.
Right.
The bracero program was scrapped at the same time that the Hart-Celler Act, which is the basis of our current immigration law, became law. We now theoretically have programs for temporary labor, but the hoops that have to be gone through make them very, very difficult to apply to any sort of seasonal thing. So under the bracero program, labor came here, mostly men, not families. They came here under agreement. They worked the seasonal jobs, and then they went back home. When the bracero program ended, it switched to illegal immigration because now in order to work in those seasonal jobs, they had to come here illegally. And so they came here and they brought their families. Made a huge difference.
Yes. But Iowa is a recipient of much of that, but it was not thought to be seasonal, except for maybe summertime construction jobs. But we have agribusiness here that imports a lot of legal and illegal cheap labor because they don't want to pay family wages. So they import it for agribusiness in the production and deproduction of pigs and cattle. And we have thousands of people of questionable background here in Iowa because the political class wants it that way.
You're exactly right. The political class wants it that way. Illegal aliens provide a cheaper, less costly labor simply by virtue of their being illegal. They can't complain. So they're exploited. They're not paid anything near market wages for what they do. And they're going to get paid a good deal more than they would be paid from the countries they come from.
Well, if that's the case, though, the political class has two different motivations. You have the people on the left who want to import the next generation of Democratic voters, and the people on the business side of the, quote, right, and I disagree that that's an apt description, but they want to import cheap labor for their agribusiness positions. So you've got in both sides of the aisle the political class that are playing this game of good cop, bad cop with the taxpayers. And if that's the case, I don't see a solution here, Bruce.
Well, I don't see a solution as long as what we do is try to attack each individual piece of immigration as a separate piece. I think that talking about DREAM Acts, talking about building more fences, talking about enforcing our laws, this becomes dialogue and rhetoric that gets in the way of any meaningful action. I think that my opinion is that comprehensive immigration reform needs to address all those things, but it needs to start with agreement, and it may be the toughest part of the whole thing, agreement on what it is we're trying to achieve with immigration.
Oh, well, we can't even agree on who the we is.
So, I know that.
Well, I've come to, maybe this sounds a little cynical, Bruce Thatcher, but after watching this train wreck for about a generation now, and realize that that the public and the public's opinion is not going to be honored here. The political class don't give a crap about what the taxpayers think. I've come to the conclusion that our political system uses the illegal immigration issue much like the Islam uses the Palestinians. So it is a way to keep the culture in foment and to distract people while the real damage is being done elsewhere.
I share a lot of your cynicism on that, Jan. I believe that most of the rhetoric, most of the dialogue, and indeed of late, maybe going back a lot of years, most of the actions in the federal government fall into that category of things. People don't want to really change anything. They just want to accept to the extent that they can figure out a way to tweak it and gain a little more advantage for whatever special interest they represent.
The government, the political class is enjoying the benefits of the turmoil way too much to fix the problem.
I think that's true. And I think that, but I nevertheless think that we've been talking about band-aiding and patching the pieces of it for so many years and achieving nothing except worsening the quagmire that our immigration laws represent.
Well, we have a congressman here in Iowa, Congressman Steve King. I know you're familiar with him. He is. He just suggested just the obvious thing. We close the birthright citizenship, a scam that has been perpetrated for the last several generations. And the radical left comes after him like he is Hitler incarnate. And they just lie and cheat and manipulate and use propaganda. And I'm going to give examples of that later in my program here, Bruce. But it just common sense things are now demagogued into oblivion. So most politicians are terrified just even to tell the truth about the subject.
I think that's right. Congressman King has introduced the bill, the same bill that he introduced at the beginning of the last Congress in 2011, to stop, in effect, or attempt to stop the anchor babies. Anchor babies, of course, are a result of an interpretation of the 14th Amendment, one sentence of which reads that anybody born in the United States is automatically a citizen.
Right.
And that was affirmed by the Supreme Court in the late 1800s. There is some question about the degree to which that can be changed short of a constitutional amendment, but Steve King has done a very interesting thing, I think, in his bills, and last Congress he got 60-plus co-sponsors, which is to not attempt to change the Constitution, but rather to create a definition of what constitutes under the authority of the United States.
Under the jurisdiction of.
Yeah, under the jurisdiction of the United States. That bill has never come out of
committee. But it's not even that. It's under the jurisdiction thereof. Doesn't mean of the United States.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very reasonable way to address that narrow problem. I also think that, and by the way, an identical bill, at least last Congress, was introduced in Senate, word for word, identical. The problem that we have at the moment is that such a bill has to pass, not only be brought up, but it passed both houses. There's no way it will pass the Senate.
And there's no way, even if it did, by an act of God, it passed the Senate. No way that this president would sign it anyway.
No, absolutely not.
And it's going to be demagogued into oblivion. So you are thinking that even the DREAM Act would do more harm than good. The DREAM Act being to grant people who were here of, the quote, no fault of their own, brought here at a very young age by their parents, you grant them access to the educational establishment and later citizenship.
Well, I think the DREAM Act falls a little bit in the same category. It certainly has a better chance of being passed, but in the first place, it's unnecessary because through executive order, President Obama has protected all of that category of young people from being deported and has authorized them to get work permits so that they can work in the United States.
That's because we have split government, and the Congress doesn't have enough clout to put his executive powers back under constitutional check.
Well, that's also because there's a provision in immigration law that goes back even before Hart-Celler that gives the president what's called parole authority to subvert or to set aside any provision of immigration law. He has
using
the right,
parole authority?
The wording in the law is parole authority. And using parole authority, it was originally intended in the 1950s when it was made a part of immigration law, it was originally intended to allow the president to, or the attorney general, which is the words they used, to review cases of individuals who really represented an exception. I think it might have gone back to the pre-World War II when the Jewish exiles from Germany were trying to find a homeland and they were kept on the ship. We refused them because the law made us refuse them. And at any rate, a provision was put in the law called the President's Parole Authority, or the Attorney General Parole Authority, that they can set aside for any case the immigration law and bring somebody in regardless of the law.
Wow, this is how far we've come adrift from common sense and rule of law. This is absurd.
Well, you can see what politicians do or
yes.
what presidents do because the law was written to apply to individual cases.
Yes.
Just as the 14th Amendment was written to apply to former slaves.
Yes.
But it has now been, in fact, very rapidly was used after 1965 to apply to mass asylum approvals for Cubans, for Haitians, for people from El Salvador, from people from other countries.
Now
people
we're using
like
refugees.
Were brought in.
Now we're using the refugee program to supply cheap labor here in Iowa. So
yeah, the refugee, right.
So
there are so many pieces to the immigration law, and it's so complex, and they're interrelated. You ask, you might say, well, why immigration, you know, babies for illegal immigrants, not a big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal.
It is here in Iowa, hundreds.
It is throughout the country.
Yes.
It is throughout the country. And the reason it's a big deal is even more long range than short range. It's because our immigration law gives a huge preference to what is called family. And specifically,
well, it
to
should. I have no problem with that. But it starts with the false premise that anybody who shows up or is born here is an automatic citizen, and they milk our compassion after they create the hazard.
Yeah, but look at the numbers. Look at the numbers on the two that are related in the provisions. The preferences for family. One category of family is subject to no limitations whatsoever, and that category is close relatives.
Bruce, I need to take a short time out here. Bruce, I apologize. I have to interrupt you for just a moment.
Okay.
Bruce Thatcher is on our Newsmaker line. His book is called Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce Thatcher is on our Newsmaker line. He is an expert on immigration. His book is called How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And you were talking about the family issue, Bruce. Continue.
Well, the thing I was pointing out is that the immigration law seems to have a numerical limit on immigration of 600 plus thousand people a year. But exempted from that limitation, there are several categories, but the significant one that's exempted from that limitation is close family of United States citizens. Close family includes parents and spouses and children. Now, take that realization. I'll put some numbers to it in a second. Take that connection. Come back to the anchor babies, and say what can happen to a baby born in the United States to an illegal immigrant. The baby's born in the United States and now has a birth certificate and is a citizen. The parents go back to wherever they came from at some point. Maybe 5 years later, maybe 2 years later, maybe 10 years later. And that baby becomes 21 years old. At the age of 21, that baby can go to the U.S. consulate in that country, apply for and get a passport, come back to the United States, and is instantly authorized to bring in his parents, if he's married, his spouse, and if he has any children, his children.
At what age is he allowed to do that?
When he's 21 years old.
Okay.
Now, that same provision, of course, applies to naturalized citizens, but we're talking about what happens to illegal immigrants. To show you how that tie-in has a long-term impact, in the few years following the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, the average number of immigrants under that unlimited family category was about 30,000 per year. It's now almost 500,000 per year.
Wow.
Something like almost 50% of our entire immigration consists of people who are not limited numerically in any way.
Because of the premise of the anchor baby process.
Well, the anchor baby process falls into that.
Right, it's part of it.
But it's the total number of immigrants who become citizens and then can bring in all their relatives.
Naturalized, previously illegal alien, as long as they, they become citizen, then they can start their own chain immigration.
They're exactly right.
Okay, so it's two different categories.
And you can appreciate how that number is going to just keep going up and up and up and up.
Help me understand, because I've been unable to find a clear Supreme Court ruling that that is specific to any child that is born here being made an automatic citizenship, a citizen. Because I've seen several that have to do with the children of legal aliens. For instance, the Wong case, that was the Chinese. But I've never seen a clear one that says 14th Amendment grants birthright citizenship.
I have it. The one I'm familiar with is the Wong case in 1898.
That would apply to the children of immigrant workers.
Those were legal immigrants.
Yes,
that was a Chinese couple. They were not eligible for citizenship at that time because our laws prohibited citizenship for Chinese.
Right. The kids of those workers that were brought in to build the railroads, I think. And the court said, hey, even though these people are legally here, but the parents can't become citizens, but their kids are citizens. That doesn't create a standard for every illegal because their parents were here legally.
Full disclosure, I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. All right.
But
I'm not either. I just play one on the radio.
Logic.
Okay.
I agree with your logic, but I think as far as I know, that's the case.
That's as close as it gets.
The thinking goes back to.
Yeah, that's the closest as it gets, and that's not close enough to grant blanket citizenship to anybody who pops a kid across our border. And that's they're also using the Plyler case in order to run the scam too. Mm-hmm. They're saying, the people who are born here, even if they're illegally here, are qualify as persons under the 14th Amendment. We are required to give the children of illegals an education, public education system, based upon the false premise of the 14th Amendment. And they say that's the law of the land. It's not the law. It's a Supreme Court opinion. It applies in Texas.
Yeah, and it can be overturned by another Supreme Court.
Or ignored by the legislature, who says, thank you for sharing. You're stupid. We repeal that, and we deny you your jurisdiction even to handle this case.
Yeah. Thank you. Or they say, thank you for dealing with that so that we don't have to walk into that problem.
Yeah. Bruce, I'm just about out of time here. I hope I'm not being cynical here, but I don't think this is going to be fixed. There's too many politicians and business scumbags that are benefiting from the current confusion. The last thing they want to do is fix this.
I share your cynicism. I hold out a hope that somehow or other all the pieces will come together in a way that it can get fixed.
Well, the longer we wait, the longer that they delay, the demographics, and this is what they're counting on, they'll just outweigh us, and the demographics will handle this. So there will be too many people to deal with and allow them access to the political system. We're already at a tipping point in some areas. You can't fix it. If you grant legal status to people who access to the political system, they simply just outvote everybody else.
Or as the way I would put it, if you bring them in so fast that they don't have time to assimilate, you hit the tipping point. You can't fix it. I hope we're not there.
We're close, I think.
Yeah.
Real fast. What do you want us to do?
I'm sorry?
What do you want us to do? What do you want us to think about more than anything else?
I want everybody to demand of their congressmen and their senators that they address this problem starting from the top down. I want them to demand actual comprehensive immigration reform, at least address the overall subject. Get off this. I want to talk about this piece and that piece and the other piece. I would just like to see a torrent of wires and communications to the Congress saying, get on this subject.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bruce Thatcher. The book is called Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and to Make It Work.